Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we're continuing our summer school sermon series. And our classroom stayed up this week. Yay! And so now we kind of feel like maybe we're in a classroom. But we're looking at lessons from Acts, and we're not following the Bible study necessarily, but we're just looking at lessons the early church knew that maybe we need to be reminded of. And last week we looked at lesson number one was that we are better together, that we are stronger together than we can ever be apart. And today we're going to look at lesson number two is that they knew the worth. And I think that'll make more sense as we go on today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1. That's on page 886 in the Pew Bible. It's on the app. It's in your Bible, Acts chapter 3. I hear the words of the Lord this morning. So this is right after Pentecost, or shortly after Pentecost. And it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, and so did John. And he said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and he began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he clung to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished, when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. He said, you Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you instead. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name and his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know before you now. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Precious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm super excited about preaching today, and I'm really out of time already. So let's see how this goes. I'm going to do my very best. But there's a story of a man who loved old books, and he met a friend one day, and he had just thrown out a Bible, and the friend said, well, why did you do that? And he goes, well, I couldn't read any of it. This man named Guten something had written all in it. And he said, Gutenberg? And he said, yes. He goes, oh, my goodness, you have no idea how much that was worth. One just sold for $2 million. And he said, well, this one wouldn't have sold for a dollar because someone named Luther had scribbled all over it. Sometimes we have our hands on something and we don't exactly know its worth. But the lesson I want us to see from Acts today is that the early church, the apostles, they knew the worth. You see, Peter and John knew the worth of Jesus. We see in the scripture that Peter tells the man begging, I don't have any gold, I don't have any silver, but what I do have, I will give you. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. What we know from Acts chapter 4 is this man had been lame from birth and he was about 40 years old. This man had never walked. But Peter knew the healing power of Christ, and he knew it was worth more than any gold or silver. He knew it enough to proclaim it, but church, I want to look a little deeper. I don't think the faith is in proclaiming it. I think the faith is in that Peter actually reached his hand out to help the gentleman up. Think about it. If I said to Michelle, Michelle, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk, and then I go this way, I don't know but Peter has the faith to stand there and says, I'm so sure that you will be healed. Let me help you up. And then we hear that he stood up and his feet and his ankles are made strong because Peter and John knew the worth of Jesus. I think it's pretty clear the lame man found out pretty quick the worth of Jesus, didn't he? This man had not walked for 40 years, and now here he is. It says he's jumping up. He stood and he began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Because this man had never walked, because he was lame, he was an outcast. Did you notice where he's sitting? He's sitting outside the gate of the temple. In 40 years, he's never walked, but he's also never been allowed in the temple. And so when he stands, what's the first thing he does? He runs and leaps and jumps into the temple, praising God that not only has he been physically healed, but now spiritually he can be a part of something he's never been a part of. He quickly found out the worth of Jesus, so much so that it says he clung to Peter and John. He wasn't leaving them. He didn't care what. We even see in chapter 4 that after Peter and John are arrested and they're kind of being questioned, and he's still there. He's still there. He's not going in. He does not care what's going to happen to him because he now knows the worth of Jesus. But the crowd inside the temple was reminded of the worth of Jesus, weren't they? It says they saw what God had done. I don't care that my alarm's already going off. They saw what God was doing, and they became receptive to hearing Peter's message. And Peter begins preaching another Pentecostal-type sermon, and he says, you killed Jesus, but in his name he has been raised from the dead. In God's glory you can be forgiven. And he starts telling them to repent. And we see in Acts chapter 4 that Peter and John are arrested, but because they were amazed that this man had been healed, and they were listening to Peter's sermon, 5,000 people are saved. You think those 5,000 would testify to the worth of Jesus? All because somebody was praising God for what they did in his life. And then somebody else took the opportunity to share the gospel. That's 5,000 people are saved because God changed somebody's life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they saw that, they said, what in the world is going on? And somebody that knew said, let me tell you about Jesus. You see, sometimes so that other people can know the worth of Christ, all we have to do is live our lives as faithful disciples. And then when the opportunity comes up, just tell them about Jesus. You don't have to have a seminary degree or go to Bible college to tell somebody what Christ has done for you. In verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men. These are the religious authorities. That they were uneducated and ordinary men. They were amazed and recognized them as the companions of Jesus. I didn't want to read all the way to chapter 4 because I figured you'd quit listening, but that's in chapter 4. But the story, you can't separate it. Would it not be awesome if somebody says, man, you're an ordinary person. I've known you for a long time, but I also recognize you've been in the company of Jesus. I think that'd be pretty awesome. Is if when you met somebody, they said, I used to know you, But there's something different about you, and it must be that Jesus fella. Y'all may not think that's cool. I think that's cool. So here's what happens. Here's the rest of the story. They let him out of prison, and they start talking about what to do. And they decide, because they cannot refute that this miracle has happened, because they know this man. They've seen him there. You know, every time they come to the temple, he's there. They know that people are now accepting this new way of Christ, so they're scared of what might happen. And so they say, Peter and John, we don't want to cause any trouble, so here's what we're going to do. You just go and leave and quit doing this. And this is what they said. It says, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must be the judge. But for us, we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. They knew the worth of Jesus. I think it's safe to say that as Christians, we need to be a little more bold in sometimes telling the world whether or not we should listen to God is up to you. Whether or not you should listen to God is up to you. But as for me, he's done great things, and I'm not going to stop talking about the worth of Christ. So there's a few key things here as we kind of close up. And the first is that because Peter and John, because they are disciples, and that's who we claim to be, because they knew the worth of Christ, the man experienced the worth of Christ, and the crowds experienced the worth of Christ. And my favorite is, even the enemies of the gospel learned the worth of Christ. Even the religious authorities in this story cannot deny the power of Christ because of their obedience. So as a disciple of Jesus Christ, can the same thing be said about you? Is the way that you live your life a testimony to others about the worth of Jesus Christ? The second thing that is so important is that this man's changed life became his testimony to the worth of knowing Jesus. You see, here's the reality today. You're in one of two groups. We've both been that man sitting outside the temple gate that doesn't deserve to be in the presence of God. But Jesus Christ said, I died for you, I'm alive again, stand up and walk into your salvation. You've either done that, or you're still sitting there hoping you get enough to get you through life. It's just one or the other. Is your testimony truly sharing the worth of Jesus Christ? And then in the face of opposition, Peter and John, they say, you decide what you want to do about how you respond to God. But as for us, we cannot stop talking about what we have seen and what we have heard. Here's what I know, and it's not much. Because all our lives individually are very different. And so I would never dare insult you by thinking I understand your full situation. But I know with all assurance, as a body of Christ, we have seen, heard, and witnessed God doing great things. As a church, when adversity comes, are we sharing the worth of Jesus by saying, my life may be falling apart, I may not know what God is doing, My heart is shattered. I'm even a little bit angry. But I will not stop talking about what I have seen and what I have heard. Today, as we close, we're going to sing Blessed Assurance. Y'all know that one? Y'all know it well enough to sing it like you mean it? Good, because that's what we're singing. But help me here. It says, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Right? Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We are heirs of salvation. Y'all, that's the worth of Jesus. But then the chorus says, this is my story. Emmanuel United Methodist Church, this is our story. This is our song. Praising our Savior all the day long. Let's stand and sing. The altar is open. If you would like to kneel and pray, and if you would like to come down and have somebody pray with you about a situation or something going on in your life, I would be happy to do that. Let's stand as we close our time of worship today. Church, I don't have gold, and I don't have silver. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let's go share with the world the worth of Jesus. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.